about marriage or experiencing marriage. Maybe you've been married, you're divorced now, or maybe you're married, been married for many years, and so you probably can attest to the fact that marriage can be hard. It can be hard, it can be difficult, it can be tough. Marriage is hard, but why is it that we make it harder than we ought to? Why is it that we do things in life that make it harder for us to really enjoy what God really has for us? And we're picking up from a theme last week where we talk about one thing, love habits, and what we're finding is really upbeat, positive stories of people calling and telling us one thing that they're doing in their marriage that's making a difference. One thing is where it begins, and sometimes it's just a simple thing. Making the cup of coffee, praying for your spouse. Donna and I walk together every day, every morning, talk and just kind of share about what's going on and talk about things that in our lives. And that's kind of one of our one things. Whatever it is for you, but moving from making a daily decision to developing those daily actions and then becoming daily habits. And there's where the peace and I think the intimacy starts to really grow. And maybe you find yourself separated, struggling in your relationship. The question is, what one thing could make a difference? You could start doing together that would make a difference in your marriage. And when you do, I can almost guarantee after years of working with couples, it will make a difference. Share your story on our storyline at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Let me go to the phones. Justin is in New Mexico. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your one thing?
So for a healthy marriage, you have to have passion, intimacy, and commitment. Yep. And whenever you have children, you can sometimes see that flame that you once had start to dwindle a little bit because your focus starts to go towards, you know, paying bills, going to baseball games. You know, it's, you start your child sleeping in the middle of the bed between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that intimacy and that passion starts to flicker. So if I could give one good thing that we do is that's respite. And a lot of churches offer respite and really take advantage of it. You know, be intentional about coming up with a schedule. My wife and I, we have something called a 1-1-1. Where we give each other 1 hour a week, 1 day a month, and then 1 week a year. And you don't think about 1 hour a day being, or 1 hour a week being a lot, but how often do we give our spouse 1 hour a month where it's just the two of you?
That's true. I like that. I like the pattern, and you're being very intentional. You guys, you got a plan, you're following it. I mean, we talk about habits. You guys got it down. You said passion, intimacy, and what was it?
Commitment.
Yeah, you got to have that, don't you?
Love.
How long you been married?
We are celebrating our 10-year anniversary, July 18th.
Well, congratulations. That's coming up. Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Now, is this something you all sat down and talked about early on, or was there a point where you said, hey, we got to talk about some things, or how'd you come up with this?
I feel like there's that 7-year itch where, you know, things start to get a little bit. You know, you start to, you know, buy a home, you start to have children, and next thing you know, you start focusing on, like I said, bills, and don't get me wrong, you focus your attention on your children, but we started to, I want to say, hit a rocky road, and that's whenever we had to sit down and really come up with a plan. We have family, it is okay for our son to go there. We do have church. It is okay for our son to go there and not be right next to us during service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just coming up with that intentional thing to, you know, have that one-on-one and, you know, and knowing that it is okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, let me just turn for a minute and talk to everybody listening to us. What is it that's keeping you from developing? And here's what we just heard. Justin said, passion, intimacy, and commitment. What is it? What's the roadblock? In their case, it sounds like just busyness, you know, having kids and things, and you start to grow apart. He talked about the 7 years, which, by the way, research shows first 7 years, higher incidence of divorce than later on, because you're trying to adjust to all these new things in the relationship. By the way, passion is an outgrowth of your emotions. Passion is what's going to get you going in life. Passion helps you build a business. Passion is what strengthens your marriage. Passion is what can help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Now you got to get beyond the passion. You got to put that into action, developing the daily kind of habits. But you have to have that. This is important. Justin just reminded us, hey, listen, we were struggling. We sat down and we decided we wanted something better. And we got really intentional. And they did their 1-1-1. You got it? One hour a week, one day a month, I think it was, and then a week a year. I mean, that's their one thing. I don't know what it is for you, but I'll tell you what. One thing can make a huge difference in your marriage and in your relationship. All right, let's get back to calls. Thank you, Justin. Petra's in Arizona. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your one thing in your marriage?
Well, my grandparents always had a chalkboard in the kitchen, and they always left notes on it to each other. So when they passed away, that was the only thing I wanted from them was that chalkboard. Wow. And from the day my husband and I got married, and it'll be 30 years coming this March, we have left. At the top of the chalkboard, it says, I am thankful for. And every night, I write down what I'm thankful for from him. And every morning, he writes down what he's thankful for from me. Because I'm a night owl, he's a morning person. And we make sure we always go to bed together. And as soon as he falls asleep, I get up and I go finish my things, laundry, whatever around the house. But I always make sure I leave what I'm thankful for him. And it has made a huge difference in our marriage over the years, because, you know, when you're fighting or you're having a stressful day, and sometimes you do go to bed mad, even though you don't want to, but we go to bed and we pray together and make sure we forgive what we need to forgive. And then when he gets up in the morning, he sees what I was thankful for. And I think that's what a lot of people forget, is thanking each other.
I do. I agree. That's about as low-tech love as I've ever heard. Come on, we're using chalkboards, but it works, right?
It does. Yeah. It absolutely does, because it's right by the pantry where he walks in to make his coffee, and it's where I walk in to get the dog treats in the morning and the evening. So we have it right there to where we can't miss it. And it helped with our kids as well, because when my daughter was growing up, she always saw little notes that we left for her and for each other. And the day she got married, her wedding present was a chalkboard from me.
Amen. This was your grandparents' chalkboard?
It was my grandparents', yes.
Wow, I bet you what. Somebody, you better get that in your estate plan, your will, because that's a family heirloom that needs to be passed along to one of the grandkids or great-grandkids down the path. Hey, listen, that idea right there, Just work with me here for a minute. You're struggling in your marriage. You're not communicating. Go out and buy a chalkboard. It's going to absolutely surprise your spouse. They're going to say, I didn't even know they made chalkboards anymore. If you want to upgrade, you can go to a whiteboard, put it up in the back hall and start leaving some notes for your spouse. Just do that one thing. They may never write back. Don't know. But I guarantee you, they're going to read them. And if you don't, they're going to say, "What's up? You didn't leave a note today." And we're talking about the power, right? We're talking about the power of one thing over an extended period of time.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever had an aha moment when you realized you needed to make a change or do something different in your life?
We don't have very many aha moments. We're so busy doing what we're doing, working on what we're working on, speaking for myself, that those aha moments just kind of come and go.
In Dr. Randy's message, How to Have More Aha Moments, he'll explore 10 ways you can have more of these moments and stay away from crisis moments in our lives. This month, we have an incredible opportunity as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar up to $10,000 to help reach the critical fiscal year-end funding need. To receive unlimited access to Dr. Randy's teachings and send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Listen, we are 5 days, count them, 5 days to the end of our fiscal year, the end of June here, June 30th, next Monday. And I want to say thank you to those of you who have been so faithful. You've joined us in one of our fundraisers, or you've been faithful for many years, ongoing support every month. Some of you give on an annual basis. This would be a great time to do that. You know, we came into these last 5 days with still a stretch to get to where we need to be. And our friends that have been matching your gifts, thank you for doing that. That's been so helpful. But I just need to share with you that right now, I want to challenge maybe you today that could be so generous to say, hey, we can give an extra month gift. Here it is. Or we can give this one-time gift for the end of this fiscal year. Here's $500 or $1,000. We're getting close, but we're not to the point of having the funding level met by the end of June. So your best gift right now is going to make a huge difference. And you can do this safely and online, securely online at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call us during West Coast business hours. Our staff would be happy to talk to you at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, our main number here for Intentional Living, and press number 2, okay? Well, I'm counting on you. I'm looking forward to being able to give a report here as we get through the end of the month for a great victory. Your best gift today in joining in the mission with us is greatly appreciated. TheIntentionalLife.com or 888-888-1717.
Hearing Dr. Carlson's messages, it came out that the habit that I was going to try to replace would be to not interrupt. I had a habit of interrupting my husband when he would speak, and it was not always an intentionally bad thing. I would want to finish his sentences, or I would get excited and begin speaking about something that was similar. And I realized that he wasn't able to finish his thoughts, and that's what my habit that I wanted to drop was. And add in, to replace it would be to listen intently and watch my body language and really hear his story and communicate that way, you know, without the eye rolling and without the shoulder shrugging. And so by the time I got to 30 days, which flew by really, before I knew it, I had done it and I felt good. I felt like I had actually achieved something. And my husband saw the change and he was excited. And so then he wanted to learn more. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I think that's the point, you know, is to be able to get that initial goal reached, and then you set more goals, and then you have another goal. So it just has been such a blessing. And now we're moving on to finances and other things, you know.
Yeah, good for you. That's great. You know what? One of the ways we can deal with, maybe you're feeling down or blue, or, you know, have these feelings kind of like you're out of it and not energized, set some one thing goals. Here's a question. As you're struggling maybe today, what one thing could you do today before you all go to bed tonight that would make the single biggest difference in your marriage that you could do? And I bet it's going to be different for you than the person listening next door to the show. Maybe for you, it's going to be praying for that spouse. Maybe for you today, it's going to be, I tend to criticize and I'm not going to, or I'm going to call him or her and give him some encouragement on the phone or text or whatever today. I don't know what it is. And it's different for everybody, but there's power in one thing. You know, you look at what's happened through time and history, with just a dripping water, the impact of one drip. If you've gone to any of the wet caves in the country, you know, you've gone like in Carlsbad, or we have right here in Tucson, Carlsbad Caverns, beautiful caverns. In fact, my wife and I were out there with some friends not so long ago, and you see the dripping of the water, and they talk about how over time you see the change in these formations. It's a little bit over an extended period of time. That's why we teach intentional living, about having a goal and then just a little bit. Listen, if you want to accomplish something in life that matters, it's going to be making the decision, taking some daily action, simple steps, hopefully turning those into habits. Then you don't have to be thinking about it every time. It's just the way I'm going to respond. That's just the way I'm going to respond. That's a habit for me now. That brings more peace, purpose, and success in your life. And that's why we talk about this today, the power of one thing. Let's go back to that topic. Jenny is in New Mexico. What's your one thing for your marriage, Jenny?
To set the expectation before we leave the house, and whether it's a little thing, going to dinner at mom's, or it's going out to buy a car or plan a vacation, my husband and I sit down and we talk about what's the budget, same page, and then there's no issues when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the formula is expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And so setting expectations is really important. You do that a lot in your life with other things, too, just expectations in general in terms of things going on in your family and relationships and so on?
You know, I tend to be a list maker and, you know, goal oriented and, you know, kind of work through things that way. I tend to give myself way too much of a list, and then I get through half of it and beat myself up.
Yes. Are you the kind that after you finish something that wasn't on the list, you put it on the list just so you can cross it off?
No, I do not.
Okay, all right, all right. Okay. That's my problem. But.
Mm-hmm, yep.
One last question. Are you both sort of list makers, so you both kind of think the same way?
Not so much. Or maybe we are, but on different topics.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But you find when you clarify your expectations, things go a lot better in your communication.
Absolutely. And then I'm not glaring at him, or he's not glaring at me over dinner or at the car dealer, or, you know, so we had it out before we left the house.
Yeah, have it out. There you go. You know, let me repeat that formula. Whatever an expectation in life, whatever it may be, is greater than the reality. It always creates a level of disappointment. And you can put that into the simple terms of going out to dinner or going to a restaurant or going to see a movie or whatever, and you have a certain expectation and it doesn't match that expectation, there's a little disappointment. And usually it's, well, I'm a little disappointed. But you know what? You let that continue to become an issue in your marriage and it can wear you out. Disappointment leads to discouragement, disillusionment, and destruction and damage. Can't think of all the years I've talked to couples who have ended their marriage that there wasn't some disappointment in something. And often it was either a reality or an expectation. And those are the two pieces of that formula you need to work on. All right. Thank you much. Let me go to Matthew next in California. What's your one thing?
I don't stop chasing her.
And in a good way, I'm assuming.
in a good way. Yeah. One of the bits of advice that I was given, you know, kind of early on is just that. Don't stop chasing her. Mm-hmm. I frankly flirt with my wife like I'm a 15-year-old boy. You know?
Now, does that drive her nuts? Or she secretly enjoys that, doesn't she?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, so, she giggles. She laughs, you know. You remember the movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? You know, somebody had asked Jessica Rabbit, why do you go for this clown? Right. And she goes, he makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course there is the politically, not politically, but the Christian proper, answer of, you know, praying for my marriage, which I obviously do. But, we did take the love languages thing. You know, mine is touch. I am a very physically affectionate person, and I show that. Her thing is little acts of service. That's her thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do that. But ultimately, you know, I show her, and I tell her all the time, and I even told her during our vows that, you know, I'm not going to try to promise you the moon. I'm not going to make all these lofty promises that I'm not going to keep up with. But what I will promise you is I'm going to torment you. I'm going to tease you, and I'm going to make you question your every life's decision. And so far, 10 years later, I hold true to that. I flirt with her like I'm a 15-year-old boy and show her that, you know, our marriage is not going stale. I'm still having fun with it, you know, and likewise, I mean, she is really good at returning that favor too. And sometimes I question my own life's decisions, you know.
But you know what? She knew up front what she's getting into, right? And I think that's really about what we're talking about, expectations there. All right, just before the break, let's go to Michael. I think you're next in Missouri. What's your one thing, man?
So I kind of found the biggest thing that helped our marriage is just, if I ask the question, are you looking for compassion or are you looking for a solution?
Yeah. And is that a kind of a 50-50 split when you ask that question?
We would get home after a long day's work. We have the kids, and she was homeschooling the kids, and I'd get home, and she would, you know, start to unload things. And my brain, you know, of course, because the work I do, I'm trying to figure out how to fix it all. I'm trying to figure out what the solution is, who she should talk to, who we should talk to, who at the school we need to call, who at her work we need to call, who she can call, what we need to do about it, what bill needs to be paid, doesn't need to be paid, how we can figure it out. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And then whenever, you know, she would get done speaking, I would unload the solution. And she's like, no, I already fixed it. I was just telling you about all these frustrations that I had today.
So you wasted all that mental energy and time.
Yeah, and then to be honest, I'm not listening. I have almost stopped listening to what she's actually saying because I'm trying to figure out how to fix the problem, you know, that she was speaking about. So, you know, I find that, you know, when we start off those conversations, if I, you know, even if I stop her story and I say, hey, do we need a solution for this, or is this something that, you know, you think we have figured out, then it just solves a lot of tension overall.
I've done lessons before on questions and the power of questions. Questions have a way of forcing us to look for answers. Many of us spend more time making statements than we do asking questions. And questions are much more beneficial. As a counselor, when someone comes in for counseling, they're going to gain more from me from the questions that I ask than from the statements that I make. Because the right question at the right time from the right person can change your life. And so asking questions of yourself, you ever do that? Are you the type of person? I do that all the time. I don't do it out loud because that's when they take you away, you know? What would be a better way of doing this than doing that? Why are we doing that? Is this really what God would have us do? Is this the most beneficial for everybody involved? Is there a better way of doing this? There are many questions that can be asked, and if you think about them and you allow them to really sort of percolate in your life, the answers that come out are amazing if you allow God to bring those answers out.
Yeah, it's true. You know, in your life, by the way, that's an excerpt from a teaching featured this month from our ministry. It's all made possible because of our support family, our members. But when you think about the power of question, anything good in your life that's occurred was some answer to a question that you were asking. Maybe consciously or unconsciously, but there's some question being asked that ultimately leads to some decision. Frankly, that also occurs in the bad examples of life, the things that we wish we had not decided on. And so answering your questions correctly, as it says in the scripture, don't say I'm going to such and such a city to build a business because I want to build a business, but if it's God's will, I'll do that. And making sure we're clearly plugged into what God's will is in this part of our life, that's powerful. Hey, listen, we're close to the end of the show. I just want to say a huge thank you to those of you who are praying for us and supporting us, being a part of the ministry, allowing us to do what we do every day. God bless you. We need your help in these final 5 days of this fiscal year. Would you share a love gift? Thank you to those who have matched gifts along the way as well. Call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. All right, quickly, let's get to Jolene to wrap it up today. What's your one thing, Jolene?
Me and my husband, like I've heard a lot of people say on the show today, was that we got married really young. Mm-hmm. We were really young. We were in high school. And we communicate very differently. You know, he talks things to death, and I don't. We're just very different on that. And a decision that we made very early in our marriage was that we wouldn't go to other people, because the instinct is, well, if I'm not getting the answers here, then I'll just go talk to my friend or my mom or my sister or my whatever. And we made the decision that we were going to keep our communication up between us, and we weren't going to bring other people in. Now, that's not to say that we haven't gone jointly to other people and sought, you know, godly wisdom or counsel, but to go off on your own and talk to other people about your marriage or how you can or can't communicate with your spouse, we decided a long time ago that we would never do that. And it's really worked, because then it kind of forces you to have to communicate with your spouse because there's no one else to go to.
How long have you been married now?
Be 35 years.
Well, you broke the odds. As you know, teen marriages have a higher incidence of not making it. But the fact that you set some ground rules, and sounds like you say, hey, we just put our head down, we're going to make this work 30 plus years later.
Yes.
That's been a positive thing. That's great. What do you say to young couples when they're getting married and they're thinking about getting married, maybe in their teens today? What do you share with them?
We have been to weddings where they will say, well, they give you a piece of paper and say, you know, write down your best advice. And that is my best advice, is don't seek outside your marriage. Don't go to other people to talk about your marriage or your problems or anything like that. Go outside your marriage, do it together.
Absolutely. Jolene, thank you for wrapping up the show today. And I 100% agree. I've seen too many marriages where there's, you know, going back to mama or going to dad or going to somebody else to gripe or complain or get the input on things that you should be talking to your spouse about. It's just bad news. It's not good for your marriage. All right. That does it for today. Thank you. We'd love your feedback. What did you hear? What do you think? What do you want to add? Share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Thank you, Jennifer, Stephen, the rest of the Intentional Living family, and you all for listening to the podcast and our radio broadcast as well. I'll be back again tomorrow with more. Hope you join me. Intentional Living, right here, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.